Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ramachar's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's definitely less than it was last time. Like I said, it just didn't bounce back, wasn't really responding the way we wanted it to. And, given kind of where we are, it was, kind of the right call to give it some rest and stay on top of it. You don't want to be playing catch-up during a time like this. So, like I said, obviously terrible timing, not exactly the most ideal situation. To be honest, was quite miserable for me. So, but at the same time, I'm not gonna sit around and pout. I'm gonna keep my chin up. I'm on the best team that's ever walked the planet. So, got good teammates that have my back, and I appreciate that.
Well, there you go. That's Chris Sale over the weekend at Fenway Park after the Red Sox placed him back on the disabled list for basically the second time in 2.5 weeks. Right, 2.5 weeks, the ace of the Red Sox is placed on the disabled list now two times. And so the question, and Mike Felger alluded to this at the end of the Felger and Maz show, but the question, very simple here. As a Red Sox fan, are you worried or you think this is part of the plan? Because if you think this is part of the plan with Sale, part of the greater plan, the bigger picture, to get Sale ready for October, to make sure that he's fresh, all part of this Chris Sale conservation plan that went into place in spring training when the Red Sox started to really manage his innings, manage his pitches, all of those things. If you think it's that, I think you're out to lunch. I do. I think you're out of your mind. I think Chris Sale's got shoulder, they're calling it inflammation, tendonitis, rotator cuff. I don't know what it is. Okay. I'm just telling you that this idea that it's part of the plan, I think, is completely asinine. There is no way this is all just part of the plan to get Chris Sale ready for October. No way. But you tell me, because as Mike said here earlier in the day, it does feel like an alarming number of Red Sox fans think this is all just some sort of ruse to avoid Sale pitching against the Yankees, whom you might see in October, avoid pitching against the Indians, who are in town tonight, to open a four-game series. You might face them in October. So apparently they're going to do the same thing when they face the Astros or face the Indians again. They'll just keep coming up with these ways to conjure up injuries for Chris Sale. I, personally, I'm worried. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock. In the interim, I'll ask Jim Murray, we'll ask Jimmy Stewart, as to their initial impressions on Sale and how you feel about the predicament, if that's what you want to call it. And by the way, that's what I think it is. It's a predicament. How you feel about that at the moment concerning Sale?
Oh, I agree completely. And I think that their playoff success hinges on this guy, considering he looked like late 90s, early aughts Pedro this year. And I was concerned when he went out for the first time. And I didn't think that they were trying to hide him or mask him from, competition like the Yankees, who he was scheduled to pitch against the last time he got put in the DL with this thing. That was an important series at that time. If the Yankees ended up sweeping, they would have been a half game behind the Red Sox in the AL East. So I think if you can sit here as a fan and think that they're trying to hide him from competition like the Yankees or Cleveland this time around, or they're trying to save him for the postseason, I think you're willfully ignorant or just stupid. This is a real problem. A guy with his body makeup, it was all a matter of time that something like this was going to flare up, and it's unfortunately right now, and hopefully it's not going to be anything too serious that's going to prevent him from pitching in a couple of months.
Jimmy Stewart, our producer, how do you feel about it? Are you worried?
I'm not worried. I'm ignorant and stupid in this case. I think Chris Sale is fine.
Yeah, it is consistent. I think Chris Sale is fine. I think they are managing. I think if you opened up his shoulder, you would find something wrong, much like you would find wrong with other pitchers' shoulders and elbows. I think they are saving him for the postseason because probably in their internal mind, he has reached a number that he shouldn't be at yet, and they want him trending up towards September, not trending down. So Chris Sale is fine.
Okay, so look, again, you might end up being right, Jimmy.
But what I will be.
But what I do think here is that Sale's get some sort of issue. Okay, and again, now the fact that they scratched him the first time didn't alarm me. And if you listen to the show, you know that. I looked at it the first time and said, yeah, it's not really reason to get alarmed yet. They have a 10-game lead over the Yankees. And granted, they put him on the DL before the start with New York, or the series with New York. But at the time, I think they were up, what, 5.5? I think it was 5.5 going into the yes. series with New York.
Yeah.
Okay, so in their minds, they're going into that saying, we're going to split. Worst case, we're home. We believe in our team. Yankees are banged up. No Judge, no Sanchez. As it turned out, no J-Hap. So no problem. We're going to split. We come out of this 5.5. We're in good shape. We'll get Sale ready to go. And then you know what happened? They swept. And they got up 9.5. And then they even said, you know what? We're not going to pitch them in Toronto. Not only are we not going to pitch them in New York against New York, we're going to hold him out of the Toronto series. That way he doesn't have to face the Phillies in Philadelphia and he doesn't have to hit. And so we don't even have to send him up to the plate. We can avoid all types of things there. So we're going to manage it that way. And they pitched him in Baltimore in between. And then you know what happened? He didn't bounce back. And he couldn't get ready for the next start the way they wanted him to. So they put him back on the DL. So when you look at this in the bigger picture, the question you have to ask is, did the Red Sox screw up and bring him back too early? Did Sale screw up? And when he got back on the mound in Baltimore, needlessly throw 99 miles an hour over five innings. He struck out 12 of the 15 outs he recorded. 12 of them were by strikeout. So after you've missed a start with a little shoulder flare-up, do you really need to come out of the gate whipping bullets the way that he did in Baltimore? Furthermore, just to throw another variable into the conversation, I remember there was a cutaway of Sale in the dugout after they told him he was coming out of the game. And with his right hand, he sort of pointed to his rib cage on the right side and made me wonder a little bit, like, maybe this has nothing to do with his shoulder. Maybe he tweaked something on his side that is more of an oblique injury than it is a shoulder injury. I don't know, but here's what I'll tell you. I don't think anymore they're managing him. I think that he has some sort of flare-up in his shoulder that is now a concern. And if you think the Red Sox can win without this guy in October, maybe you're right. Maybe. And when I say maybe, maybe there's a 5% chance that they could win because someone like David Price would actually catch fire and finally pitch to his capability. And you know what? More on Price in a minute. Because some of the numbers I'm going to give you on Price may astonish you, and not in the negative, in the positive. Okay? So we'll touch on that as well. But losing Sale for any length of time in meaningful games, and again, don't mischaracterize the argument. The Red Sox aren't going to play meaningful games again until October. They're 10 up, 9.5, whatever the number is. The Yankees aren't going to catch them. The Red Sox are too good to blow a 10-game lead in the division with 40. They're too good. They're not going to blow it. I can almost assure you of that. Okay, I'm not the least bit worried about the starts in the regular season. But if you have no Sale or a compromised Sale in the playoffs, well, then it might affect what you can do with your starters in the bullpen. Do you have to have someone back him up, ready to go in case he can't go, et cetera, et cetera? Does it affect your bullpen composition because a starter that you were going to take and move to the bullpen, now you can't do that? So don't underestimate the Sale injury. We all know how important he is, and anytime a pitcher starts talking about an elbow or a shoulder, you should be paying attention. 617-779-0985. We'll kick off your calls tonight with Mike, who's in the car. Mike, go.
Yeah, I'm terrified if they lose him long term, but more importantly, you said compromised. I think that's the best way to put it, and I think a compromise is he can't go out there and throw his game, which he obviously looks like he tried to do in Baltimore, and it didn't work. And if I had his pitch count right that night, I think he only threw 68 pitches, and they had to pull him. that's a really bad sign for a guy who is coming off some kind of inflammation and then he goes right back on. The thought of Price as the ace is terrifying and should scare the hell out of everybody.
Okay, so look, again, I don't know what scares me more, the idea of Price as the ace or the fact that the Red Sox don't have an eighth inning guy and it's August 20th. Like, I gotta give that one some thought to see which really scares me more. But in any case, I'm happy to hear that because I think too many people are glossing this over. Sam's in Southie. He thinks the opposite. He doesn't think this is a big deal at all. Go, Sam.
All right, Tony. So let me preface this by saying this. If you think that Chris Sale is seriously injured, then I don't think he's injured at all because you haven't been right about a single thing in this Red Sox team the whole entire season.
Good strategy.
Let me start by saying that. Oh, yeah. I mean, you haven't been right about anything, so I feel pretty good about it. Beyond that, why can't it be that they're just being a little cautious with him and just limiting his innings? Maybe the inflammation is still not that good, and they just want to be a little cautious with him and hold him back a little bit instead of just continue to pitch him when he's a little sore. What's the point of pitching when he's a little sore when you can give him rest? They're 50 games up on whoever. Why can't it just be that they're being a little cautious? Why does it have to be doomsday every single time something happens?
Okay, it's not doomsday. And by the way, I never said that Sale had a serious injury. Murray, did I ever utter the term serious injury?
No, smug Sam heard that incorrectly. It was selective listening.
I mean, did I say anything about like a rotator cuff tear or anything like that? I didn't say anything of the
I heard oblique.
I never said anything about a serious injury. That's not what I said. I said that Sale might be compromised. He might have shoulder inflammation, and who knows what he's going to be able to give you. So that's all. That's the only thing I ever said. And I haven't been wrong about everything. Maybe 90-95% I've been wrong, Murray. Like, I don't know what you would put the number at.
You're right about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and the Bruins winning the Cup.
Okay, well, the Bruins thing was like 10 years ago, Jimmy.
Still, it's one thing.
I don't know that people are necessarily counting that one anymore.
Oh, I do.
But nonetheless, look, I just think when you have as much on that guy's shoulders as the Red Sox have, and then his shoulder has inflammation in it, and he goes on the DL twice in less than 3 weeks, I don't know how you're supposed to think that's all part of the plan. You know, the last time I checked, you could manage a guy by just giving him an extra day's rest, skipping a turn. You could do a million things like that to keep a guy rested and take care of him in a season. Okay, we talked about this. In fact, the Red Sox told us coming out of the break, Sale was going to get an extra day on every start. Sale was doing fine. They'd cut down the pitches. They'd cut down the innings. They'd done all of that. The Red Sox had given us every indication that they've managed him all year long. They weren't just managing him at the end. And his shoulder gets sore anyway. Now, look, it might be nothing. But I'm telling you, compared to what it was the first time they put him on the DL, I'm not dismissing this as rapidly. Okay, to me, I want to see him come out. I want to see him pitch. I want to see him go 3, maybe even 4 starts in a row and bounce back before I come to the conclusion that Chris Sale is fine. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your calls and talk about David Price, whose role in the Red Sox rotation may be growing in importance, and it doesn't sound like he wants anything to do with that. We'll explain it next. One who threw the pitch
to the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short
to the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The baseball reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You've been on the road now for the last 6 or 7 weeks. What are some of the reasons why you've been on fire?
I made adjustments.
What kind of adjustment?
I'm not going to tell you, Johnny. You can go back and watch film, or I'm not going to do your job for you. I'm sorry. You don't do mine, so I won't do yours.
David Price over the weekend. He had a good outing in his last game. Tampa Bay, 7 innings, 2 runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. He's really perfect other than the home run. I mean, it was really, he was dynamite. Price was good. But again, Tampa Bay, one of them was Baltimore, another one was Detroit. And I know, Murray, another one was the Phillies, and I'm busting balls now. But, like, it is a National League lineup. And then on top of it, the other one was the Yankees, but no Sanchez, no Judge. So, like, I don't know. With David Price, Murray, there's always an asterisk. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think he'd be in a better mood after being dominant again like he was on Saturday night. But I like playing Junior Freud here every so often. It's one of the fun things I get to do in sports talk. And I look at this guy and I think what he's doing is it's a defense mechanism. He's looking what's looming ahead of him. Now that Chris Sale is out, there's more pressure on him to be the de facto number one starter in this rotation. And he has this bigger series coming up against the Cleveland Indians, which is also going to be a team that, you know, you're going to be measured against going into the postseason. So I think he's feeling it a little bit, and he's feeling anxious. And when he gets anxious and he's feeling the stress, he lashes out like he did. And he did this earlier this season, too, going into that Yankee series where he lashed out against Greg Bedard, who just was kind of asking an innocuous question about, like, Fortnite or whatever. He's like, yeah, I'm playing Fortnite. And he gets bitchy. And I think that this happens when he's starting to feel the pressure. It's his defense mechanism.
So, you know, overall now, Price is 13-6 with a 3.69 ERA.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yep, almost 4.5 before the break and 1.35 since. He's been dominant.
Okay, I mean, he really, since the break, he's been good. Again, the quality competition we can question. But he also said something else following his outing the other day that I thought, you know, I mean, it interests me a little bit. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, just getting back to myself, you know. I definitely changed a lot of stuff up, you know, here the first 2.5 years. And, you know, to be able to get back to the pitcher that, you know, Boston signed, you know, that's it's about time.
Okay, so getting back to myself, you know, changed a lot of stuff up here the first 2.5 years I was here. So, like, I there's some things I wonder about. First of all, the first 2 years were under Farrell. Okay, so did they encourage him to change things and do things that he didn't want to do? Is that what he's saying? And he said, also, he said 2.5. So Dana Lavangi was here for the first half of this year. Is he now feuding with the pitching coach? Are they disagreeing over how he should pitch or whatever? Like, I don't know, and all that. And then secondly, is he really all that different? Have you noticed anything dramatically different in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 starts, Murray?
Not particularly.
Nor have I. Okay, nor have I. So, and I mentioned Price because with Sale out, Price's performance now becomes more important. Sorry, David, they did sign you to be the ace. $31, $32 million a year. You couldn't handle it, so they went and got the other guy. And he might not be that durable. I mean, I think really with Chris Sale now, it's really that simple. As I said earlier, if you were to pick a Red Sox pitcher from their recent history to compare Sale's body to, you know who it would be? Clay Buchholz. Clay Buchholz, who wasn't durable and couldn't throw more than 170 innings in a year. Now, Buchholz went on the DL a lot. This guy pitches through it, Sale, but the stuff's not the same. Or at least it wasn't last year. And over his career, it hasn't been the same. So you need another guy there to help him out and take some of the load off. Now more than ever. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a number on Sale. I'm sorry, on Price. That might surprise you. It surprised me when I really started thinking about it. Okay, but before that, John is in Vermont. John, go ahead.
Tony, first of all, people who think that you like the Yankees, the fact that you're giving the Red Sox even a percentage of a chance without Sale is that's proof of your hometown loyalty. Number two, ask David Price. Nobody feels good. I mean, after childhood, it's a fact of life. So I think it's the fact, like, Sale, you can manage an injury. It doesn't mean they're baking in rest. And also, the last half dozen times I've called, I've mentioned this, the season's too long. I mean, the Patriots are going to be 4 weeks into their season, a quarter of the NFL season, before the first Red Sox playoff game on that Friday night. Like, they have to manage him, even if it's, whether it's a fake injury or he slept on it or whatever, like, it's too long. It's 50 days away. Like, it doesn't matter if he's if his arm was falling off, they wouldn't have pitched him against Baltimore. He's sore. Of course he's sore. They play 100 games, 162 games. This schedule was invented, you know, back when people smoked cigarettes.
Okay,
for
so John,
and,
John, you
had no idea about unprotected sex?
So, John, if you think that if the games are important, he'd be out there right now.
I mean, I don't think it, but don't you have to assume it? Okay. Don't you have to assume it if they put him out there against the Orioles?
So, look, here's what I would tell you, that they thought he would bounce back better than he did, and he did not. That whatever he was experiencing before the Orioles start came back, and they did not expect it to. So that's the part that, to me, you should keep an eye on. It's that whatever they thought they had under control, they didn't have under control. So it's going to take longer, we hope. What if they give him this time, instead of giving him 2 weeks off, they give him 4 weeks off? He comes back in the middle of September, and then it happens again. And then it gets worse after every outing, and he can't bounce back. Then what? Okay? So, again, he'll pitch. I think he's going to pitch. I don't think they're shutting him down. But the question is, what are you going to get? And then this goes back to that whole idea of managing him. They started managing him in March, and his shoulder flared up. So this idea that you can manage Chris Sale might be a pipe dream. Chris Sale is a guy you're probably going to have to shut down in the middle of the year in future years. Okay, some guys just can't make it through the year and maintain the same level of performance. In fact, most guys can't. Paulie's in a truck. Go ahead, Paulie.
Hey, what do you say, Tony? Tony, if you're striking out 12 batters out of the 15 outs that you record, he's throwing 9 miles an hour. I don't think your arms are that bad.
Paulie, it was a Triple-A team.
That doesn't, Tony. 12 out of 15 strikeouts, 99 miles an hour. The miles per hour really tells a lot.
Yeah, and I would tell you, Paulie, that by throwing 99, it was a mistake. I'm going to let you go because anytime someone starts to talk back, you don't stop talking. It drives me bananas. And so, Murray, you know who that is, right?
Yep.
Yep, that's the guy who air-holed us in Houston.
Yes, that is correct. Super Bowl.
Jeff's in a car. Go ahead, Jeff. Hello, Jeff. No, Jeff, he's not there. Let's go to Pat in Oxford on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Pat.
Man, it's Pat in Oxford. Listen, I've been walking around with the 1978 in my brain for 40 years. Really bugs me. The lead the Red Sox have now, it looks really great. But I can remember 78 like it was yesterday.
Hey Pat, when the Red Sox won, Pat, when the Red Sox won in 04, were you still thinking about 78?
No, I wasn't.
How about when they won in
07 playoff game?
How about in 07? When they won in 07, were you thinking about 78?
Not after they won in 04. 78 was out of my mind.
But okay, how about 2013? When they won in 2013, were you thinking about 78?
No, but here's the thing that really bugs me, Raz. Is everybody calls that playoff game that Bucky Dent won the game. Reggie Jackson won the game late in the game with a home run.
Okay, Pat, you know what? I'm not going back to 1978. I'm not doing it. This Red Sox team has no excuse for losing the division. No weight of history on them. None of that. Don't succumb to any of that. And they're not going to blow it. They're not. They're too good. Okay, they're too good. The Yankees are wounded. There's not as much time left on the schedule or in the calendar. None of that. They're not going to blow it. I'm not still living with those scars. Those were washed away. This type of mentality bugs me because this is nothing more than Red Sox fans from 40, 50 years ago still traumatized by things that happened then, even though history has changed. It's changed. I'm not even going to entertain that talk anymore. I think that's complete nonsense, frankly. And if they blow it, well, then maybe we'll relive it. But they're not going to blow it. In fact, I'd bet my house right now that they're not going to blow it. 617-779-0985. Murray's Get Your Headlines when we come back. I know I've put it off. A surprising statistic on David Price. And it should surprise even you. I know it surprised me. We'll tell you what that is when we come back.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox and Indians start up a four-game series tonight at Fenway Park. It's a battle of two 15-game winners on the mound for the series opener as the Indians will send Corey Kluber to the mound against Rick Porcello. And some lineup notes for the Red Sox are going to be going Ian Kinsler at second base, get Brock Holt at third, Eduardo Nunez is going to be on the bench, Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi. Once again, batting leadoff and second, respectively. First pitch, 7-10. Patriots rookie running back Sony Michel missed his 10th straight practice today. He, of course, dealing with that knee injury. He's not been on the practice field since August 1st. Fellow running back Rex Burkhead was on the field yesterday and today after skipping four consecutive practices. Patriots play their third preseason game Friday night on the road against the Carolina Panthers. Elsewhere today in the NFL, the Redskins have signed running back Adrian Peterson to a one-year deal. He was last with the Cardinals. Buffalo Bills have named rookie quarterback Josh Allen the starter at quarterback for the team's third preseason game coming up against Cincinnati. And tests have also revealed that Bills quarterback A.J. McCarron did not suffer a fracture in his collarbone, and he could be back practicing sooner than later. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News reporting at least two teams have shown interest in trading for New York Jets quarterback
Teddy Bridgewater. Headlines are brought to you by the 99 restaurants. When the Red Sox win, kids eat for free. So visit the 99 the day after the Red Sox win, and kids get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree that's purchased. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next update at 7.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Most people don't know Ryan Brazier, right? I mean, he's 30. He was a quality prospect with Anaheim. He got hurt, goes to Japan, pitches well, comes back. But if he'd have come into game last night and he'd have had a star name on the back of his jersey, the comments would be, wow, this guy's really good. But because they don't know him very well, that's not the comments you get. But I've seen many guys that are unknown perform very well for you, and big names not necessarily perform very well. He doesn't get rattled.
Dave Dombrowski trying to sell us on Ryan Brazier as the latest solution to the Red Sox bullpen problems. I'll tell you, Dave Dombrowski, boy, talk about a guy that talks out of both sides of his mouth. He's always trying to convince you something. Earlier in the year, he was asked about Joe Kelly, and he said, well, you know, we like Joe Kelly. You people underestimate Joe Kelly. The numbers tell us that Joe Kelly's one of the best relievers in the American League over the last 2 years. He's a premium reliever. Now Joe Kelly is in such a slump that Alex Cora won't go near him in any sort of situation of consequence. And so now he's trying to sell us Ryan Brazier. And if you want to buy that, fine. Fine. There are two things that are really irritating me more than anything else about the Red Sox. One is the fact that it is August 20th. And the manager is still looking for an eighth inning guy. And I don't necessarily blame the manager for that. I blame Dombrowski for that. But Alex Cora, with a team that is 88-57, I think that's a record, something like that. 88-37, not 57. They're 51 games over. 88-37. That at this stage could still be looking for an eighth inning guy blows me away. That's number one. Number two, I will get to in a minute. It's not Chris Sale's injury. Because they're gonna manage it. He's gonna pitch again. I'm not worried about that. The question is what he's gonna look like, and that one doesn't irritate me because again, that's just a reality. Guys get hurt. They do. What irritates me is when people try to spin you, or they talk in such a way that's insulting. That type of stuff irritates me a hell of a lot more. First on David Price. He's having a pretty good run here, Murray, right? Price has had now 5 starts since the All-Star break, 3-0. The team has won all 5. His ERA is 1.35. What was his last bad start?
At this point, I forget. What is it?
Okay, so right after the Yankees, he went to Kansas City. Remember, he pitched badly in that game. He had a game at Kansas City. And then everyone remembers the Yankee game, right? Do you remember what happened before the Yankee game? And it's okay if you say no.
I don't know.
Of course, how would you? I mean, like, they all just get piled together.
It feels
together.
Like there's 450 games this season, and every other time you look up, it's Tampa or Baltimore. So go ahead.
Okay, so right before they went into New York, David Price in his previous 9 starts was 7-1 with a low ERA, and the team was 8-1 in those games. Okay? So the point is this. You really have to go back a half season now. David Price has pitched pretty well, excluding the Yankee game, and maybe that Kansas City game, which we wouldn't put nearly the stock in if it weren't for the Yankee game.
Sure.
But in his last 17 starts, do you know what Price's numbers are?
Tell me.
11-2, 3.19. That includes that absolute freaking disaster in New York. 11-2, 3.19 in his last 17 starts. That's a half season. That's the equivalent of going 22-4 over the course of a full year. And you know what the team is in those 17 games? 15-2. Okay? So here's my one question. And I'm going to try to ask it with a straight face. Because I know how you feel already, Murray. And I know how I feel. But 17 starts, Price is 11-2, 3.19, and the team has won 15 out of 17. Shouldn't that be enough to convince you that he's turned a corner?
Yeah, that's a hell of a sample size, but it does not.
And I knew it wouldn't, because I feel the same way. Isn't it amazing, though, with him, how we put the greater emphasis on the failures than on the successes?
Oh, well, yeah, because the failures feel so dramatic when they happen to this guy. You know, even though it's essentially just that one Yankee outlier going back to the mid-last year. Yeah, he's been good. And look, it's against some quality opposition, too, like Houston earlier this year, which might have been his best start this season, or since he became a member of the Red Sox, and he had one against Philadelphia. I know you want to downplay the National League lineup. He's been good. I always expect the other shoe to drop with this guy in the postseason. I just don't think it's ever going to happen for him as a starter.
I mean, it's just got everything to do about the when and the where. And the game in New York Sunday night, he got his face kicked in. He did. He got his face absolutely kicked in. And so I'll venture to do the numbers by taking just that start out of his last half season. But, man, I mean, unbelievable. Now, the other thing that's really pissing me off with the Red Sox, I'll tell you what, let's tease it. Let's tease it. A player on the Red Sox made a comment in the last day or so that really kind of irritated me, and it relates to the team the Red Sox are playing tonight, the Cleveland Indians. So I'll tell you what, we'll tell you that comment. We'll touch on the Indians, give you a little scouting report of that series. And also, the Indians made a big deal at the deadline. They acquired Brad Hand, a left-handed reliever. We'll give you an update on how that deal has gone for Cleveland. We'll do all that when we come back.